Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
You know, I sense this morning, you know, Jesus appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he said, "Look up, for I have set before you an open door." And I sense the Spirit of God is saying the same thing to us today. Hey, Gateway, look up. I set before you an open door that no man, no system, no ideology, no culture can stop. For I've set you before you my promises, my goodness, my love, but you don't do it alone. For I will come to where you are, and I will draw you to me. And we'll do this together, but be encouraged this day. And don't close the door on yourself. Don't count your past as an indication of your future. Don't count the failures around you in the circumstances and the labels of other people. Do not let them dictate what I have, because I've set before you an open door. This day, my promises, my grace, my love, it's true, it's powerful, it's here. Receive it, says the Lord, this day. Amen. If you believe that, give God a shout. Give God a praise. Amen. God is good. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
All right, you've got a teaching outline on the chair right next to you. If you don't see it, you may be sitting on it. So just try to look cool as you slip it out from underneath. Or if you'd like a fresh one that's not wrinkled, the ushers can help you. All right. I'm really glad you're here. I want to welcome you, everyone, to the sanctuary here. Welcome in the cafe. Welcome to those that are joining us online. We're a week into a special journey of faith, a journey of 50 days of transformation. We're looking at seven key areas of our life, and we have a theme verse. And the theme of this seven-week journey that we're on together, small groups, about 50 small groups, hundreds of people meeting in small groups, and I'm hearing already great reports. Our small groups and then our weekend experiences are themed around this passage. And I want you to just get your preacher voice out with me, all right? We're going to read the Word of God. Let's all read this aloud together. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be
transformed.
Be what?
Transformed.
By the
renewing.
Now, if you have a pen or a pencil, you want to circle on your outline that word mind. Because that is one of the most important and most overlooked words in that verse. This is a powerful verse. There's a lot in this verse that your life can change, and it can be changed and renewed and made completely different. But how does a person's life change? How does it change? Does it change when somebody comes and sprinkles pixie dust on you? Does it change when the planets align and the stars line up in just the right way? How does a person's life really change? Very important question. And the Bible says that our lives change when our minds are renewed. We get it right here. If we get God's help, if we get truth, if we get God's reality, God's perspective into our mind, then transformation happens automatically. You don't have to be the same as everybody else, and you don't have to be the same as you used to be. Your life can change, but it starts with a thought process and getting truth into our minds. So renewing the way we think is what transforms our lives. Now, we're on kind of a steady course here. Last week, we talked about how our lives can change and be transformed spiritually. Today, we're going to talk about another area. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about how it can change emotionally and physically and financially and even vocationally. Today, our focus is the second area in this series, which is our physical lives. God wants to touch us physically and change us. Now, I know that you would love to hear me talk for the next 30 minutes about diet and exercise and all that, but that's not what I'm going to talk about. But I am going to talk about the issue of stress and how we can move from being stressed to blessed. Now, what does stress have to do with our physical health? Well, stress is affecting your body and your brain right now. And if we get God's help on the issue of stress, then I believe our physical health is going to spring forth in marvelous ways. In fact, I'm believing for miracles to take place in this service as our minds are renewed. I'm believing for blood pressure to come down. I'm believing for diabetes to disappear. I'm believing for God's healing touch on our lives that can come in so many different ways, including dealing with the way we think and the way we're processing and experiencing our stress. And when that thing comes down, then your body is fearfully and wonderfully made, and it's designed just to thrive. So God wants to help us do this. And I'll build everything around just kind of a central thought just to start with. And that is that stress can break you down. Stress can really affect your physical life, your brain, your sense of well-being. But Christ, now that's something different. He comes to build you up. So how does he do that? How can we move from stress to being blessed? We're going to talk about that. Just a quick informal survey, nothing scientific about this, but I just wonder if there is anybody here facing stress. Is anybody here facing perhaps any stress? Show me your hand if you are in a little bit of stress. Okay, let's talk just real quickly about stress and kind of where it comes from, and then we'll get into the message and the scriptures. But stress, I'm sure you know this, stress is a physical response. It's something physiological. Stress happens when we perceive a threat, either a real threat or an unreal threat. But if we believe something is threatening us, then what happens in our body is very interesting. Our heart rate goes up. Our glands kick into gears, all kinds of juices start flowing, our eyes get big, our brain starts. The whole system that God has given to us physiologically goes into kind of an overdrive. And you know what? That's a good thing. For example, if a 3-ton cement truck is, you're standing on the street corner and a 3-ton cement truck is coming right at you, and it looks like the driver of the truck looks like he's had a heart attack and the truck is going off the road and heading right toward you, you're perceiving a threat, right? So your body's kicking into gear and it's giving you the extra power to move and get out of the way. That can be a good thing. The problem with stress, when we talk about stress affecting our health, is not those moments of stress, which we all face, but it's that issue of chronic stress. See, that's where it starts to really damage our health. Chronic meaning that sense of feeling threatened or that feeling of emergency and panic and tension actually never goes away. We are like that. Chronic stress is when you're feeling that stress 24/7. You're in a circumstance in your life. You're in a situation, or you're just in a way of thinking, a habit of the way you experience and process life, where you're just so stressed. And usually chronic stress is related to believing wrong things about our lives. So it's a matter of getting our head on straight and seeing, what does God say about my life? Now, one of the things that we want to take into account here this morning is the fact that the culture around us is filled with chronic stress. It's happening everywhere. Why? Why is it happening in our day? There's a few factors that I'll just mention right quick. But for one thing, rushing. Everybody is rushing, rushing, rushing. I mean, everybody's got to move, and everybody's got to move now, and it's got to happen, and I've got to have what I need, and everything is microwave and instantaneous, and customer service, and it's got to be fast, and it's just like the world has sped up. How many have noticed that? And it starts to feel like a crazy zone. Like you're moving so fast that it's not even, everything has to be right now. See, speed and rushing creates stress. And one of the reasons why so many of us are feeling stress is the culture around us is just zooming, zooming, zooming. We need grace right now. In fact, if you say, Pastor David, how do you define a vacation? Like, what's like the perfect ideal vacation? Like, is it a place? Is it what do you love to do to just unwind and relax? And I will define a vacation as a season of my life with no schedule. I don't have to be somewhere doing something at a certain time. And most of us are like that. If you're a young parent, you got to be in the right place at the right time. If you're running a business, if you're a professional person, you got to be in the right place at the right time. You're constantly moving, moving, moving. And I think all of us are longing just for a little bit of space that's free from the rush. Rushing causes stress. And then another thing that's causing stress and putting pressure on people in our culture is overcrowding. Something called urbanization, right? Urbanization means that people have moved from the countries. People used to live in the country, and they used to live spread out, and there used to be space in between. Over the last 50, 75 years in our country, we've seen millions and millions of people move to the same cities. So what's happened to populations is it's getting very condensed and very jam-packed. That's why we have traffic jams. That's why people are constantly in your way. Come on, get out of my way. Come on, move, move, move. Because I'm rushing and you're in my way. And there's crowds. And you know what? You take crowds and rushing, and you got a recipe for chronic stress. People stuck in traffic and but it's just that's the way that the country is moving now. Millions of people in our cities. And it's happening all over the world, this urbanization thing. That means traffic, crowds, delays, anger, and stress. And then there's another thing, which is essentially sounds like a blessing, but it's choices. We have so many choices in our culture. I mean, I'm trying to figure out which toothpaste to use. I can't make up my mind. There's 37 kinds of toothpaste. The kind that whitened, that's for sure. I need that. But do I get the kind with the pro-namel? Do I get to this? Do I get to that? Is the fluoride good or is it bad? You go to the grocery store and you see 11 million, I mean, coffee filters. I go to the store for coffee filters. I'm like, I don't know which one is the right one. They're all different sizes. It's like, I just want to brew a cup of coffee. That's all I want to do. And you go to Starbucks and you go everywhere you go, there's millions and millions of choices, which part of that is awesome. It's awesome to have, you know, your choice of 47 different kinds of mouthwash. But on the other hand, there's a lot more complex choices that we have to face in our life. And those choices leave us a lot of times in indecision. I'm talking to young parents, and they're telling me that the pressure on young families is incredible right now. I said, well, tell me about that. Well, because everybody's fighting about inoculations. Everybody's fighting about breastfeeding. Everybody's fighting about what kind of diaper you're supposed to use, whether you're supposed to homeschool your kids or whether you're not, or whether they belong in the public school or this and that, or whether it should be vegan or whether it should be organic. And people are like carving out these very ferociously defended positions. Like, if you don't do this for your baby, you are like evil. You're a bad person. Now, where does that come from? I mean, yeah, that's mean. And, you know, if you're mean, cut it out. That's rude. Just leave people alone. You know, leave people alone. Don't try to push your thing and all that. But the other thing is that there's just so many points of view that people are, like, marking out their territory, and they're getting very, very intense. These kinds of things are causing stress in our world and leaving us with too many choices, and so nothing is clear, and there's a lot of uncertainty, and you add all this up, and then you throw a little demonic activity, a little spiritual warfare, a little of what the enemy wants to do, and you got a cocktail, you got a soup that people are living in that is very, very stressful. Well, I like what the Bible says concerning our stress, and it's Proverbs 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14:30 says about concerning stress, a peace of, now what's the word I'm looking for? Peace of mind makes the what? Isn't that interesting? So if we can get the right thing happening in our mind, there is a change that will take place in our bodies. And I think that's a key for us to be healthy and to be strong going forward. So a relaxed attitude, a proper way of viewing and experiencing life and processing, it really does improve your health and lengthen your life. Today, I want to share some things here just in the next 25 minutes from Psalm 23. This is the most famous psalm of the Bible. And Pastor Nicole was singing from this song. That song she sang earlier was Psalm 23. And I want to read this to you from the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to pull out a few ideas about how we can get our heads on right and move from stress to a place of being blessed. Here it is, the most famous psalm in the world, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Boy, this is the ancient wisdom of a man who understood how to relate to God, who understood how to come down from fear and anxiety and worry, because David had worries. He had those things around him. He had enemies. I mean, this isn't just poetry. He had enemies. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He was there in all those places, but he found a way to be strong and to be confident in his life. And I want us to look at this and what this may tell us about how to deal with stress in our lives. If I want to move from stress to bless, number one, I look to God to meet all my needs. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need." Let me say it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Hallelujah. Just that switch alone going off in your brain is going to reduce your stress. Because if you think that the way you're going to make it is if the economy does good or the government does what it should do, or your husband or wife or kids or the governor of the state of California or the Social Security Administration, if everybody like that does what they're supposed to do for you, then you can have peace. Well, then no wonder you're stressed out. Because you know intuitively that you cannot trust any of those things. When the economy shakes, you can be unshaken. If you understand that the Lord is your shepherd, and you're going to have everything you need. You can put your confidence and your trust in God, and that is going to change your life. Don't put your trust in things that disappoint. Here's a little advice, a little friendly advice from somebody who loves you. Never put your security in something that you can lose. You say, "Well, I know my husband would never whatever." Or, "I know that my political party would always," or, "I know that the career that I have chosen will be bulletproof, you know, forever." Never put your confidence in those things, because those things are changeable. But you know what? The promise of God and God himself, when you're able to say, like David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'm going to have everything I need." See, God doesn't fail us. He takes care of us. And sure, we have our part. And sure, all of those other pieces fit into their proper. But you cannot see your job as your security. You can't see money as your security. You can't see another person as your security. You've got to put your confidence in God. Is God trustworthy? Can you trust him? Will he really take care of you? It's a good question, right? See, Pastor David, you're asking me to put my confidence in God. You're asking me to follow Christ. Is he really trustworthy? Does God really care? Well, here's what Romans 8 says, verse 32, "Since God did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else?" You say, "Can I trust God? Is he trustworthy?" I say, he's already proven that you can trust him. Do you think the God of heaven, listen to me, do you think the God of heaven is going to send his only begotten son, his perfect, pure, innocent son, and stand by and watch while they beat him, stripped him naked, and nailed him to a cross so that you and I could be free from our sins. Do you think the God who did that is going to now turn his back on you? You think he won't come through for you? If you trust him, he's already paid everything out of love for you and love for me. And he did it when we weren't even acknowledging him. Friend, I'm here to tell you some good news today. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. And you can trust him. You want to move from stress to blessing? Every time you face stress, repeat these words of Psalm 23. Just say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. So you open the mail, and there's a bill you didn't know was coming. Or you get called into your boss's office, and he's got a funny look on his face. What are the thoughts? What's the de-stressor? The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. That right there, can you just feel that? Can you just feel the peace that comes from trusting in him? That's the first one. Here's the second. If I want to move from stressed to blessed, I learn God's pattern for rest. See, rest is very important for your health. It's very important regarding stress. And David said, he lets me rest. Another translation said, he makes me lie down. Now, whether God lets you rest or makes you lie down may be up to your response and your attitude, depending. But the point is, we end up at the same place, and that is God wants us to rest. Rest is very important to living a stress-free life. It's a physical thing, but it's also a spiritual thing. Genesis 2, we see that God himself rested. He worked. He was a worker, and God's a doer. I mean, but he also set aside time to rest. Now, he didn't rest because he got exhausted. He rested because resting is holy. Resting is special. And God even set aside a day called the Sabbath. And he said, you make sure you keep this holy and you observe this principle. This is a statute throughout all your generations. This one is never going to change. I'm requiring you to rest, and I'm setting the example myself of rest. But it's like people in our culture today, we're not keeping this at all. I'm not just talking about Sunday or whatever your Sabbath day is. I'm not talking about observing days. I'm just talking about a principle where people in our culture simply go, 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 and never, ever stop. And some of them anoint this kind of activity with their Christianity. And they say, because I'm saved, and because of the Great Commission, and because I'm a missionary or a preacher or a this or a that, then I cannot stop, I cannot rest. And I just say, man, here's a guy heading for a major emergency in his life. It may show up in his marriage. It may show up in his physical health. It may show up in his emotional well-being. But you cannot go, 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 and never stop and be well. I think taking a time off, taking a day to rest, taking a break every now and then, as you are able to do, that is something holy and sacred. In fact, Kathy and I do it on a regular basis. I enjoy God. My thing is, I work hard and I play hard. But I am not going to spend my life work, 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 work. I'm going to take time to rest because I have discovered that my best requires rest. Say that with me. My best requires rest. Did you know that you are designed for, let's just talk about your physiology. You are designed to require about a third of your life being asleep. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God created your body, and he created you with the need to sleep. Now, do you think that God would want us to sleep if the message was, you're just supposed to go, 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 go? A third of your life is supposed to be sleep. You know that how much insomnia there is in our culture? How much sleeplessness? And it's because we're not processing our stress correctly, we're not stopping and realizing that God can do it for us and that we need to take the time to purposefully rest. Now, that's from a physical standpoint that rest is important, but there's a spiritual rest, and that's even, I think, the more important piece of this, that we come into a rest from our own works and our own struggling and our own perfection and trying to prove that we're worthy and that we're valuable by all these things. And Christ just says, hey, just take some time and rest because I got you. You're not in a contest. You're not in a holy contest. You're not in a spiritual contest. You know, just let me work through you in a peaceful and powerful way. And here are the words that he says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He says, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Circle that word if you like. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And again, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. A couple of years ago, because I'm clinically insane, I accepted a challenge which some members of Lyft gave me to skydive. You guys remember that? That was a nightmare, all right? And so here I am, man of faith and power. My faith is on the line and I have to jump out of a plane. You know, anyway, no, we had a great time. It was fun. I went skydiving. We'll never do it again, but I did it. And now, the interesting thing about skydiving, if you've never skydived before, here's how it works. You go up in a plane and then you jump out. You fall toward the earth. And it's terrifying. That's pretty much the experience. But actually... Actually, the way it works physically is you are yoked to an instructor. You're connected to an experienced skydiver. He's your dive instructor, and you're harnessed to him, and he's got the pack. He's got the parachute. And so when you jump out of the plane and you're screaming for your life, you have somebody there to guide the direction of what's happening, to pull the cord at the right moment and get you safely to where you're supposed to land. When Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, this is exactly what he was saying, is connect to me, get strapped to me, because I got you. And you're going to get where you need to be and you're going to arrive safely because you're connected to me. Let me ask you this. Are you connected to Christ in life? Because life really is a leap of faith. It's something kind of crazy. And you need to be strapped to somebody who can instruct you, who can guide you through this process. This is what Jesus is saying. When you really are linked to me, when you're firmly connected to me, then there's a place of rest that comes as you realize it's not all up to you to get to the destination safely. I pray, you know, today we're going to have prayer at the end of the message, and I'm going to invite you to say a prayer. And I pray if you're here and there's any question in your mind, but that you're born again or not born again, that you would turn your life over to Christ, receive this kind of prayer, say this prayer, invite Christ to be the Lord of your life, and make sure that you're yoked to him. Because here's how you're meant to live life. Our job, write this down, our job is to relax and learn to do it God's way. It's just like, let the Lord show you how to get there. Get linked to him, get yoked to him, and learn to do it his way. Here's the third piece of this, if we want to move from stressed to blessed. We have to rely on God when we need guidance. Say this with me. I rely on God when I need guidance. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me along right paths. Remember all the confusion we were talking about, all the choices and so many things. It is daunting. It's overwhelming to try to figure out how to do life, how to do marriage, how do I get balance in my work life and my ministry life and my education life and my financial life. How do I even do this? And the confidence has to be, hey, there is a way to do it and God is going to guide me through it. Because if you're having to figure this out all on your own, that's where the stress is going to come back into your body. Let God guide you through all the indecision, through all the times of wavering. Let God guide you. Psalm 142, verse 3, David said, when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm freaking out, when I don't know what to do, I'm running around in circles, I feel like my hair is on fire, when I'm having a panic attack, you alone know the way that I should turn. When the people at church or the people at work or the people in my family are telling me, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this, and if you don't do this, then you're wrong and you're bad and you're evil, then you got to go, whoa, hold on. And they say, you need to watch this video, you need to read this book, you need to do this, you need to do that. Hold on, whoa, time out. All of that may be good. Thank you for your advice, books, tapes, videos, and all that. But I got to know that God is going to guide me. All of those things may have a place. Thank God for good advice. But what do you do when you got 17 people giving you the totally opposite advice of each other and all quoting scriptures at the same time? What do you do? And then in our kind of a church, which is a spirit-filled church, a church that believes God speaks, then you got people prophesying over each other. Well, now the Lord told me to tell you to do this. And then you got seven of them saying slightly different things. We got to get past all of that, take it all in, but then at the end of the day, God is going to guide us. How many believe that? It's too stressful to try to do it any other way. God is the best guide. Listen for His voice. Are you spending time with Him? Can you turn off the radio and the TV for a minute? Have you opened the Bible? When was the last time you just kind of turned everything off and got quiet with the Lord? And listen for His voice and His direction. So you start to live in a totally different realm when you've just spoken to God and He's told you something, He's impressed something on you. Then when all of God's helpers come to tell you what to do, then you go, that's great. But you know, I was with the Lord this morning and I heard His voice fresh. And people are screaming about ISIS and they're screaming about inoculations and they're screaming about Ebola and they're telling you how to do this and how not to do that and all these things. And you go, you know what? I was just with God. I got this down here. And this is what we say. This is, listen, say this with me and write this down if you like. God will guide me at the right time. Oh, this is, you got to say this. All right, just hear yourself say this. Say it with me. God will guide me at the right time. Listen, you cannot imagine how complex it can be leading a church. It gets a little nutty. I mean, I'm having a blast, but I have to come back because there's a million voices and a million ways to do church, and everybody's got their input, and input is great. But at the end of the day, I've got to be able to say, you know what? When people say, Pastor, what are we going to do about this, or why are we doing that? Here's the deal: God is guiding us, amen. And He is guiding us at the right time. He is in charge. Would you be willing to adopt that for your life? Amen. God will guide me at the right time. So your family says to you, honey, I don't know what to do. Dad, what are we going to do? You know what? Here's the answer. God is going to guide us at the right time. Can you feel the peace just coming on your life when you renew your mind that way? Get that peace. Don't miss it. Rely on God when you need guidance. Here's the fourth part of this. We're coming quickly to the end. We're going to be praying and we're going to spend a little time worshiping the Lord here at the end of the service, but let me give you this fourth one. I trust God in the dark valleys. David said, when I walk through the darkest valley, oh man, how many of you have been through a dark valley in your life? You lost a loved one, you lost a marriage, you lost your health. Loss can be devastating. There's enemies, there's dark valleys, there's moments and you just think, I don't even know if I'm going to make it out of this. I don't even see how I'm going to move forward. I talked to a guy after the first service, been married for 60 years, and he lost his wife. He said, I've been through the dark valley. I didn't hardly know what pair of pants to put on in the morning. I was completely lost. And there are some things in life that you just can't fix easy. And you pull the prayer lever and it doesn't change. And you do the faith thing and it, you know, God's still with you, but you're still in the same circumstance. You're in a valley and it can't be fixed. But David said, when I'm in that place, I'm not going to be afraid because I found out who God is. And see, your peace level, your stress level has so much more to do with how you respond to the valley than the valley itself. You can't choose what happens to you, but you can choose how you process it. You can choose what you do with it. And you've got, in the valley of the shadow of death, you've got to say, I'm trusting God. I don't understand. I don't like. I don't prefer. Ow. And I trust God. Say that with me. I trust God. I trust him in the dark valley. See, we have a choice there in that valley. We can be afraid, but David said, I will not fear. 365 times in the Bible, it says, don't be afraid. It doesn't say, don't be human. It doesn't say, don't grieve your loss. You know, people, when you lose your health or you lose a fortune or what, hey, you're entitled to grieve, but even in the grief, even in the tears, let it be clean and say, I'm still trusting God. I lost my marriage. I didn't think I was going to lose my marriage. I didn't think I was going to be alone at 45. I didn't think I was still going to be unmarried at 30. Whatever it is, you know, grieve that loss, but then come through it and say, I'm trusting God. Because fear is going to torment you. And fear is what raises that stress and gets your body just in a death spiral. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I will fear no one. The Lord protects me from all danger. I will never choose fear. Amen. I will fight fear to the end. God is my light. And he is my salvation. I will fear no one and I will fear nothing. Trust God in the dark valley. I wish I could say that if you come to Gateway, if you say the prayer that I want you to pray, I wish I could say that you'll never go through a dark valley. That wouldn't be true. The truth is, you don't need Christ so that you'll never go through a dark valley. You need Christ because you will go through a dark valley. And you sure don't want to be alone. You want to have somebody there who is light and who can guide you in that darkness. And here's the last piece as we come to the end of this message. I choose to let God defend me. David said, Lord, you're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Lord, there's people trying to get me. Not everybody thinks I'm great. Have you discovered that? Not everybody thinks you're great. Some people think you're weird. Some people don't like you. Some people get mad if you get happy. That's just reality. You might have... Listen, I hope it's a small number, but not everybody is for you. God is for you. I'm for you. I'm cheering for you. But there are enemies. What do you do when you're picked on at work? What do you do when people say stuff about you that is not true? And they don't know your heart, and they don't know your motive, and they don't know, but they're still saying it. Well, I fight. I mean, I want to make sure everybody knows my heart. I want to just clarify with everybody. And if they just know my heart, then they'll stop talking. That's not true. Listen, nasty mouth people just have a nasty mouth. They just like to talk. So it doesn't even matter what's in your heart or what. Just people do that. People do that. That's sad. We need to knock it off, don't we? Don't we need to just like pull it back a little bit with the mouth? Did you say talk about it or Taco Bell? Because I'm kind of hungry and Taco Bell sounds really good. Pastor Chris said talk about it. I thought he said Taco Bell. That's where I go when I'm stressed. Okay. So, not everybody thinks you great. Let God handle it for you. Stop fighting to define yourself. Stop putting up this image that everybody can love. You're promoting an image that everybody could love you. Everybody's not going to love you. So just let God handle it. Just, you know what Jesus did when they attacked him? He barely even dignified it with an answer. Just live your life, keep going, and the critics will be proven wrong eventually. Keep your heart tender. And you know what? Bless people that are against you. But if they say something that's about you that's not true, just speak blessing and life over them. See, they're an enemy to me, but I'm not an enemy to them. I don't have enemies. I want everyone to succeed. There isn't one person you could name that I don't want to be blessed and helped and to find God and find their place in the world. So I don't waste time, you know, making sure everybody knows my heart, making sure everybody understands how lovable and adorable I really am. And here's the bottom line. I figured this out a while ago. You either get me or you don't get me. Two kinds of people in the world. People that get me, people that don't get me. Maybe there's a third kind, people that don't even care. I think that's the largest group. People don't even care what I'm doing. Are you getting anything out of this? Psalm 62:2. I'm way off my notes, by the way. Just try to follow me. Psalm 62:2. He alone protects me and saves me. He is my defender, and I shall never be defeated. Do what Jesus did. Embrace your cross and let the resurrection come. Embrace your cross and you will rise again. Hallelujah. Worship team, come on out here. I want to have some Holy Spirit time. Come on, stand with me right where you are. Let's have some Holy Spirit time. Let's trust in Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, we just come. We ask You, Lord, to take all our mess and reign over us, Lord. Teach us to think right, Lord. We give You our challenges. We give You our hurts. We give You our dark valleys. We give You our physical stress. We give You, Lord, all that we're going through right now. And we ask You to reign over us. Come on, Pastor Nicole, let's sing together.
All that I have, I bring. With all that I am, I sing. Go ahead, with all that I have. All that
decision today to trust in You. We're making our decision to give it to you. We're making our decision to be yoked to you and to let every opinion and every pressure and the crowding and the rushing and the blood pressure and all this stuff. Lord, we just cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. We make the choice, Lord, to follow you as you guide us through even the darkest valley. And Father, I pray for the physical health of your people. I pray, Lord, wherever stress has created sickness, disease, wherever it's brought tension into our bodies, wherever it's brought tension into our marriages, wherever it's created sleeplessness, Lord, I pull that down in the strong name of Jesus as a stronghold, Lord, and I release your supernatural peace right now. Lord, change our thinking. Change our minds and change our health. Change our minds and change our bodies. Change our minds and our hearts, and let our brains operate according to your perfect plan. Blanket us, Holy Father, with your perfect peace. In Jesus' name, just receive that right now. Holy Spirit is here. His gentle touch is on you. He sees the battles. He sees the enemies. And he's for you. You can trust him. Peace now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just want to invite my friends on the altar team to just come down here, come and join me, because people after this message may feel they want someone to pray with them. Maybe you need healing prayer in your life. You're not sure if you were to die today, you're not positive for sure that you would go to heaven. You need assurance of salvation. These men and women will pray with you, talk to you, love you, help you. They'll be available at the end of the service. I told you before that I was going to challenge you to say a prayer. It's time for us to pray. It's time for you to... Now God has spoken to you through his word. Now it's time for you to speak back to God, to make your decision, to follow Jesus. It's your turn to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. So there's a prayer up on the screen. I think it'll get the job done. It's short and sweet, like prayers should be. But I know if we say it with all our heart, God's going to hear it and our lives are going to change. Let's say this prayer together. Come on, join me. Father God, thank you that when I'm at the end of my strength, you're there. Lately, I've been feeling so stressed about life. Lord Jesus, I know only you can bring me rest. Forgive me for being fearful and worrying. Today, I choose to trust. Oh, that's a good one. Let's say that part again. Today, I choose to trust completely in you. In Christ's name, amen. What does amen mean? Amen means no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's a done deal. Your place in Christ, your success is a done deal. You follow Jesus and watch what will happen in your life. Be blessed with God's peace and grace. I'm so glad we could be together. I love you guys. If I've never met you, I'd love to shake your hand and take a minute and just kind of love on each other. Check out the stuff that's in the lobby. Check out the cafe. Don't rush off. There's good things here. God bless you. We'll see you very soon.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.